Christ's identity has become Paul's own past, present, and future reality. He says, whatever it takes, whatever it costs, put me in prison, shipwreck me on an island, I will go through suffering and loss. If I get more of Jesus, it is worth it in the end.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you're joining us today for our series in Philippians. Now, Pastor Philip, we've been talking about achievement-based identity, but today we talk about this new identity that we have in Christ.
That's right. It's an abiding identity. That's where Paul's going next. So he said approval-based identities don't work. Achievement-based identities don't work. What really works, what we most need, is an abiding identity that is grounded in Christ. And when we abide in Christ and we remember who we are in Him, it changes our relationships with everything else in life. And for the Apostle Paul, this comes right out of his story. He was an achiever par excellence. He had everything lined up. He had the right pedigree, the right resume. He was a Pharisee. He had it all lined up. And then he says, you know what? Whatever was to my profit, I counted as loss that I might have Christ. There's an identity in Christ that was better than all the achievements I could ever amass for myself. What Christ has done far surpasses everything else. And so I'll give up anything if I get more of Jesus. It's beautiful.
Let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church, where we'll explore the joy of abiding in Christ. This is part three of the sermon, The Basics of Identity. Our text today, Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11.
So affirmation-based identities don't work. Achievement-based identities, both the self-made and self-expressed varieties, don't work either. Well, what does? I'm glad you asked. The third identity formation strategy is where Paul lands the plane here, and it is an abiding-based identity, looking to Christ. Paul says your identity and your joyous life is found not in looking to others, not in looking to yourself, but looking to Christ. Verse 7, but whatever gain I had, he's talking about his resume, whatever gain I had, I counted it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Instead of building an identity, Paul says, around myself, whatever assets I had, whatever capital gains I'd amassed, I count it all as loss, as liabilities, all of it. My Hebrew credentials, my Pharisaic position, my zealous religious fervor, my legal blamelessness, I count it not just as neutral, but as a liability, a negative, a loss. I move it from the profit column to the loss column. Why? All those things are good things, Paul, aren't they? Sure they are. But it's no place to build an identity, not when Christ is available to you. Paul says, I found something greater, a greater treasure, something of surpassing worth, a firmer foundation, a better life joy, a truer identity. And compared to knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, everything else is garbage. It's trash. Everything I used to live for and build my identity around, I consider rubbish, refuse, dung. It's an expletive in the Greek. It's a dirty word. In order that I may gain Christ. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Friends, this is Paul's new identity. He says, I want to be found in him. Where is your new identity, Paul? It is in Christ and Christ alone. Do you see? He's no longer standing on his own righteousness, his own standing, his own identity. His righteous identity is from God. It is by grace. It is through faith, and it is in Christ. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, he has exchanged identities with Paul. Christ took upon himself Paul's sinful and self-righteous identity and gave Paul instead a righteous identity and clothed him in the very identity of Christ. So don't you see, this new identity in Christ, it's what Martin Luther referred to as an alien righteousness, a righteousness that is not my own. And it's already Paul's because he has believed in faith in Jesus Christ. It is something Paul is living into. He is stepping into as he abides in Christ and walks with him in righteousness. And it is something that Paul is hoping for, that one day he will be with Christ in glory, and that identity will be fully, completely, and finally his forever. Verse 10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Christ's identity has become Paul's own past, present, and future reality. He says, whatever it takes, whatever it costs, put me in prison, shipwreck me on an island, I will go through suffering and loss. If I get more of Jesus, it is worth it in the end. Even if I lose my life, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Because my life is hidden in Christ. I in him and he in me. I am united in Christ forever. And no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Friends, this is an abiding identity. We find our sense of self in Christ alone. It's an abiding-based identity. We find ourselves, our sense of self in Christ alone. Friends, on the cross, Jesus exchanged identities with you and me. He took our sinful identities upon himself, and in return, he gave us a substitute, his own righteous identity. And what does that mean? Do you remember when Jesus was baptized? The Father spoke from heaven. The Spirit came down like a dove. Remember this? What did the Father say? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. The three things every son and daughter needs to hear from their father. This is my beloved son, daughter. I love you, in whom I am well pleased. I'm proud of you. Y'all, you listen to him. You're endorsed. What has Jesus done up until this point in his life? Well, he got potty trained. He learned his alphabet. He became a carpenter, an apprentice. He built some stuff, apparently. But no ministry. Huh. It's pretty high praise for just a carpenter, don't you think? Then he goes on. He casts out demons, preaches sermons, does ministry, raises the dead. And at the end of his life, just so we won't mistake what's about to go down, at the Mount of Transfiguration, what does the Father say? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You listen to him. Because listen. He says, I love you. I'm proud of you. I endorse you. And nothing Jesus did in all that productive ministry moved the needle one bit in the Father's love for his son. What does that tell you? It means that the Father's love for his son is grounded in who he is, not what he does. It's grounded in his identity, not in his performance. You see that? And here's the kicker. If you are in Christ, all that is Christ's is yours, and these statements apply to you. You are my beloved son, my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to these people, my children. You are loved. He is proud of you, and he endorses you. Friends, what greater affirmation-based identity could you ever ask for than to be affirmed and approved by the one whose opinion matters more than any other in the universe? What greater achievement-based identity could you ever imagine than to be enfolded into the glory of the triumphant and risen and exalted Christ forever? What greater identity is there than to abide in Christ, to settle down and make our home in the identity which is now ours by grace through faith in Christ alone? Friends, this is an abiding identity. It is a graced identity. It is a received identity. You can't earn this. You can't strive for this. You don't have to prove anything to have this. And you can never lose it. You have an infinite, eternal, divine identity in Jesus Christ. You are beloved sons and daughters of God. It's who you already are by grace through faith. It's who you are stepping into as you follow Christ every day of your life by the power of the Spirit. And it is who you will one day be when you stand before the Father in glory. Being, behaving, becoming. So here's my question for you. Is your identity durable? Is your identity durable? Is it solid? Is it unshakable? Is it lasting? Is it glorious? Is it forever? I close with these words from C.S. Lewis, from Mere Christianity. Your real self, your new self, which is Christ's and also yours, and yours just because it's his, will come to you when you're looking for him. Give up yourself and you will find your real self. Lose your life and you will save it. Submit to death, death of your ambitions, of your favorite wishes every day, and death of your whole being in the end. Submit with every fiber of your being and you will find eternal life. Keep nothing back. Nothing that you have not given away will be really yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself, and you will find that in the long run, there is only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ, and you will find him, and with him, everything else. Everything else. Who am I?
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We are glad you're with us today as we explore how to have an identity that is grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Pastor Philip, I want to make sure I got this right. You quoted C.S. Lewis when you said, quote, "Look for Christ and you'll find him, and with him, everything else." Why is this identity based of knowing Christ so much better than all the other things you've talked about today, the approval base and achievement base? Why is this different and better?
Yeah. Well, it's grounded in a way that is utterly unique, right? It's grounded in the finished work of Christ, who is fully sufficient and fully enough for all of time, which means it's a stable identity that can never be taken away. To be, for my life to be hidden in Christ, that he is my new identity. I'm a new creature in him and he is in me. That means my identity is grounded in something beyond the walls of this world, even. It's beyond all of creation. It's grounded in who Jesus is himself, and that he has conferred that identity upon me by grace. That is a fundamental change to everything else. So I don't have to now go live for the approval of other people. And that's always so fickle. You know, their opinions change and it ebbs and flows and you never quite know where you stand. And so you build your identity looking to other people. It's going to fluctuate. It's going to be unstable. You build your identity based off of your achievements in the world. You'll never be enough, you know, at some level, because you've got gaps and you'll always have problems and you'll never quite be sufficient to secure your identity. So it's a never ending treadmill. You're constantly churning, but along comes Christ and he says, I'm going to give you a new identity by grace through faith. You trust in me and I will cover you with my identity, with my righteousness, with my life, and you will be hidden in me from now until eternity, and no one can touch that. No amount of disapproval from other people can mess with you all the way down. You can fail in life and still win in the end because you're in me. And it just grounds you in a way that is utterly different. And if we can learn to abide and rest in that finished work, in that deeper Christ-given identity, that changes everything about our lives. And that's what makes it so beautiful. That's why Paul says, I'll trade anything to have that. It doesn't matter what it costs. If I get more of Jesus, I'm making that trade every day.
Amen and amen. You know, our production team handed me this, and I want to read it to you. It's a note. It says, Pastor Philip, I became a born-again Christian at my church in California. Pastor Philip's teaching on the basics of identity is a blessing. It has been helping me thinking about who I am. At times, my ego gets the best of me. I know Jesus was a very humble person, and I want to grow in humility and to grow in Christlikeness. Even when I die, I have on my urn Christ in me, the hope of glory. And that's from John in California. Well, praise God. Boy, talk about this taking hold of somebody. How to know that you have an identity in Christ that's going to hold up for all eternity.
Wow. What an encouragement. John, thanks for writing and thanks for sharing what God's doing in your life. That's super encouraging to both Pastor Larry and to me. It really is what John is describing is such a beautiful testimony to the fact that when we do know who we are in Christ, it actually starts to ripple out. It changes everything about who we are. You know, I don't have to strive for this. I don't have to go prove this. I don't need to be enough because Christ is enough.
Amen.
The work is finished. And if my life is hidden in Christ, then no one can take that away. Hmm. And, it gets really practical. At the end of the day, we want to talk about living this hope, right? How do we live this out? And it gets really practical for each one of us because let me just give you a story from my life. So I'm a pastor and people give me feedback. I get nice letters from folks like John and I get cranky letters from other people that I won't mention their names. Okay. And I like it when people like me. I like to have people approving and complimenting. I like to be liked.
Yes.
I mean, I think we all do, yes. Right? And so, but the danger is that I bake too much of my identity into that approval. And I'm expecting, my achievements, my sermons, the things I'm producing to earn a certain amount of honor or earn a certain amount of respect or earn a certain amount of approval. And then people will give those to me and then I'll get validated and compliments and things like that. And so, in other words, what I'm doing is I'm building my identity at some level around approval and achievement.
Yes.
And the gospel is inviting me, Pastor Philip, to learn to center myself in the finished work of Christ, that I'm a child of God by grace through faith in Christ, that the Father smiles upon my life, and I'm secure in his love, and no one can take that away from me. And that's who I really am. And so whether I get a nice letter or a cranky letter, at the end of the day, none of that changes who I really am and what really matters at the end of the day.
Yes, sir.
And so this Christian identity can be for me, and I'm learning to do this, right? A kind of ballast in the bottom of the ship, mm-hmm. that deep weight that goes down in the hull of the ship that gives it buoyancy and gives it a weighty sense of direction that it can't be blown and tossed by the wind and the waves and the storms that come. It is a grounded and heavy weight of glorious identity in my life that can provide all kinds of ballast through the storms of life. And I think we need that, Pastor Larry, because we're going to get tested.
Yes.
And all of our, one day, all the people that gave us validation, they're going to be gone. One day, all of our achievements are going to be in a history book, if we're lucky.
That's right.
And most likely in a forgotten bag of stuff that everyone's moved on from.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, I'm going to stand before Jesus. And what's going to matter is not how many nice notes I got or how many attaboys or how many gold stars. There's not going to be a shadow box display of all of my achievements. All that's going to matter is that I'm in Christ and that Jesus has loved me from all eternity past. He's called me to be his own, that I'm his beloved brother in Christ. I'm a child of God. I'm filled with the Spirit and I've been conformed to the image of Christ. That glorious reality is what I need to learn to live for now and remember who I am.
Not only you, but for all of our listeners out there, beloved, you be encouraged today. Your new identity in the Lord Jesus Christ, it can't be shaken. It won't wear out. It's not going to evaporate. Oh, you should feel encouraged today. You aren't secure in the love of Christ. That's why we're offering Dr. Warren Wiersbe's book, Be Joyful. This readable, insightful book shows that cultivating that secure mind means resting in God's peace, power, and provision. This peace guards your heart and mind so that worry, the worst thief of all, cannot enter and rob you of your durable joy in Christ. Now, beloved, this is the second to the last day that we're able to offer Be Joyful for a donation of any amount. To request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. You can also write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Simply ask for the book, Be Joyful, by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by
The Moody Church.